tell one right on this new reel, beginning with a visit with Gorman and Suzanne, Carol, and the little English girl this Saturday late, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel 1 right. Channel 1 right, and then beginning the visit with Gorman.
Ah, see why that old reprobate wouldn't come out of there.
Wow. Well.
Where he got in here.
There.
Oh, I don't blame him. I wouldn't have come out either.
Have a chair.
That's what I'm telling you. There's a floating crap game going on out here.
Oh, yeah.
It might be, but we're not telling We've been collecting vegetables.
Collecting vegetables. Who's going to do the cooking?
You? Partly. We're going to split them up three ways.
Split up cooking. What you got out there? Turnips, mustard?
We got everything.
I see.
You can.
You hadn't got my letter.
No, Faye told me. She said.
Oh, you. I'm telling you. Oh, man. Lying.
You done. What have you done told me? Don't know nothing but books.
Now, go on.
Let me tell you now.
Let's
leave
that out of here. All right. We over at Cecil Pardee's, and he's truck farming.
Oh, he's truck farming.
And he'd really got the stuff.
I'm going to tell you about my preacher buddy and my brother. See, my brother was a deacon.
Okay.
And they're going to have them a garden together.
Oh, really?
And I have to put these all in about the same category. See, they get it all started. Boy, when they get this spring seed catalog and these pretty pictures, and the spring sets in, the sap rises, they got more energy than you ever saw. So the sun gets hot, and they got to get out and cultivate, and start sweating. That's when they lose the interest. The doc takes all this serious.
You.
He takes all
you.
This serious.
I thought you. Let me tell you, let's leave the academic side out.
Yeah, he takes it all serious.
That's what we're doing out here, trying to get outside of the academic side. Now, if you want to come out here and pull us back, you see, that's the hardship on it.
That's the hardship.
Let me tell you. I thought your brother was a roughneck.
Which brother?
Over at the Chieftain.
I'm the roughneck. You see, now all you talk about, now Doc, you went over there and you're going to learn a lot of things. It's like trying to get a date with this girl one time, and she kept saying, now you're not going to take her off and get her in the wrong crowd. She says, oh, Mother Hush, he is the wrong crowd. What are you talking about? I'm the black sheep. I'm the one that, if you hear anything bad about that name over there, you can lay it to me.
Can he farm and take care of himself?
Who, BT? My brother?
Yeah.
He does a good job of farming.
Yeah.
Well, he does a good job of it.
Well, how'd he get in with the preacher?
Well, he's a deacon.
Wow.
He's going to garden, see. Now, he's got half a section of land in there. So he's got some that's worth $1,000 an acre. And they grow the finest cattle you ever looked at, the finest corn. When they come, they buy all their vegetables.
Yeah.
I asked this lady at the country store on there out in West Florida. She had dry lima beans, she had sweet potato, she had all this stuff, green vegetables. I said, who do you sell this to? I said, there's these farmers around you. There's nobody else around you.
There you are.
So that's what I say. See, people farming don't grow gardens.
Well, now, who is Cecil selling to?
He says people just drive up in his yard and ask for the stuff. He said he had cars in Illinois and Ohio and Iowa.
And lots of people from Jacksonville, too.
He said they come down there and they load up the back end of the car with vegetables and they ship their luggage home and just drive back with the vegetables.
Is that right?
And I guess he just sends them and tells them which row has what in it and lets them go out and pick it. Because I don't think he picks it all. I think he may pick some, but I think a lot of times he just sends them out.
Just let them pick their own.
He said, some lady said, well, how do you tell the difference between black-eyed peas and crowded peas? And he said, lady, if you don't know the difference, it won't matter.
Send them anyway.
So we just send them out and let them pick.
I don't know if he's got any little acre peas over there.
We went through them row by row and he didn't mention them, no. I could prepare the bet, he didn't
black
mention them.
Black-eyed
peas, yeah.
Peas.
Some other kind of peas.
Speckled butter beans.
Speckled
white
butter
beans. White
peas. You got a ham hock around here in the hard dock? Supposed ham hock? I don't mean it.
He loaded up us. That was the snap beans. Gave us, well, he let us pick them, and then we walked about halfway down three rows and got a big old bucket about halfway full before we got hot.
Where you got it?
You picked your own.
Yeah.
Where's your trunk key?
And he told us, he said, there's a meat market down the road, and you just go get about three ham hocks for each pot of beans, and you cook them up.
You going to make the cornbread?
Yeah, cornbread.
You know how to make cornbread? You do?
Yeah, I learned that early.
Did you? Oh, is that the new bride told they had the first cake, you know, she made the first cake. And he says, honey, it's delicious. You're using the same mix mother used. Make biscuits, you're good at it. You pop that can and roll them out.
Did you get to talk to him? Any?
Well, yeah, we sat down there in the yard and he brought out three lawn chairs for us and we just sat down there and he talked for about an hour, I guess, he and his wife.
Well, now he has done everything. And he's actually done it.
Who is that, son?
He's from Pardee. He lives out there at the Shiloh Crossroads.
I'm from Pardee, but I can't.
Right south of Mickenover.
She ever made moonshine?
Since he's built, yeah.
What do you mean, ever made?
I imagine he's had a hand in it.
No, he didn't talk much about that.
Didn't
what
talk
he
much
done.
About moonshine?
Oh, he didn't?
No, he talked about the garden and he told us. Well, he was talking about the lady lived on the corner, and he talked about young people not having living in town. He said they didn't have anything to do, but they had lots of energy, and so they had to get rid of it somewhere. The pictures really weren't enough. He says, now what they ought to do is come out here and work for a while.
Where's all that energy?
And he talked about his garden. He didn't talk too much about what he's done. Just the garden, mostly.
He's lived a rough life.
We gathered that.
Rough party.
You can tell a rough joke.
Oh, yeah. He don't do anything the easy way. They had watermelons in the back pasture there, and he did most of the work for Bill Wynn. Bill Wynn had them. And when it come time to put the fertilizer out, they brought the big trailer out there, a big, you know, trailer thing. And then they had a little 6-ton trailer, some such thing, to pull behind the tractor. And he loaded it right up to the rim. Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, people, it ain't far from that field back there, up here to where the fertilizer is. You don't have to bust an axle and beat down the ground so it'll never be the same again. But he did. And he got that old rugged John Deere tractor. I don't know what you'd call it. But it's high. You need a stepladder to get up on it.
That big green one here?
Yeah.
Oh, 2 cylinders, y'all.
Yeah.
Putt, they are strong.
Oh, they are. And you got to be strong to put the plow on it to hook it up.
He had about 4 plows hooked up when we saw. She said they're sweeps.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Sweeps, yeah. Mm-hmm. He just find light out there now. Yeah, for what he needs, a little light tractor like this Ford for that. He don't need that great big.
He suggested Joe come out and work for him to work off that surface energy. I think he had a good idea.
Who's gonna get it, you know?
Gorman, I run into the most extraordinary people over there. Yes, I don't know all their names by any means. But now, Buck Johnson, I didn't get too much talk out of him. He was.
He's pretty big.
Yeah. But while he is working on an old truck to get it through the inspection center, I went there next door.
It was a little restaurant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the man that runs that, he's.
Who run that man? He changed his hand.
Sort of young fella.
Oh, I think that's one of those Osteen boys.
And, let me see. He talked, I forget. And then the Ford tractor man drove up in front of Bud Johnson. He had a great, big, huge, brand new Ford 3000 on it. Delivering it. And I talked to him about some of the little equipment that they turned in, you know. And he talked like they reworked it. And find something for you.
Yeah, they will. But what do you need with a tractor you got?
They stay broke down.
Yours stay broke down?
Yeah.
Ain't you got a pretty new rig out there? That new bog, you mean they stay bogged down, though?
No, they stay broke down. They broke straight down. If I had a good mechanic a hold of it for half a day, I think they'd do a lot better. And,
You don't bully out, yeah. He put it for it and run. Stay run.
Mm-hmm.
You could have him deuce over Harrison to come out, yeah.
That's yes, but he's not interested in farm life.
He ain't it. I mean, get him out here. You'd have to pay him, get him out there to work on your tractor. You'd have to seduce him. But
you couldn't, yes, you'd have to have vegetables or something like that.
He might come for vegetables. I don't know. I might get bullied. What seems to be the trouble with it? Just is it a major thing or a minor?
Well, the little one needs overhauling, and the big one is just wore out in several spots.
Several spots. That little tractor we went down there, little Ford with a 3-point hitch, needs overhauling?
Yeah. It got no compression, won't pull. Well, put out fertilizer.
How many hours you got on? Did you buy it new?
No. It was a generation old. It had raised a family too when I got it.
You can make this crop with it, but just cut. Tell us its oil capacity. How many quarts of oil does it hold?
I have no idea.
How often do you change it?
I don't change it very often. Well, I change it enough, but I don't know how often.
What's enough?
Well, it's not black. It's pretty.
It don't matter on the farm tractor. Change oil in it and put you a couple of cans of STP in it. That'll improve your compression until you can get this crop made.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the man I ran into there was. He was sitting at the.
You didn't run into old Cecil Ryle, did you?
No.
I wished you had.
Where is he?
He couldn't have got over that.
Where is he?
He's retired. He runs up and down the streets trying. He's my sidewalk superintendent. Cecil's. I don't know what old Cecil's worth. $500,000, I suppose.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it?
No, he felt it. His wife, Bess, is a postmistress there. Has been for years. Cecil was automobile dealer and farmer and everything else. He's a mess. He can tell you all the local yokels gossip from the day they was born. I mean, it second and third generation,
yeah.
Anything else. He aggravates me to death. I'll be a building something over there, and Cecil standing around. Even my daddy was good close friend. And always talking about old times, what they was into. I said, "They mean what you was into, Cecil. You and my uncle." "Yeah, the uncle was hell, wasn't he?" I says, "Yeah, he was." He'd be old Irishman, you know, Irish German. Loved to fight. He'd want to get drunk, you know, get uptown and get drunk. He'd always have to drive. Had a little free trail road going through this. Saw me over there. He'd get around. "What's the matter, El? Them trees ain't never been in that road before." He said, "He's so drunk, he'd see it to trees."
Well, now, was that just on Saturday?
Most of the time, they just get drunk on Saturday, on payday. See, it's paid off every Saturday.
Yeah.
He get pretty well. He and Cecil Rowell, W.J. Tate, Hope Colson, and Hope about dead. They'd all get drunk. If they didn't fight, they'd usually wind up out in Swanee Hammock somewhere.
Right.
I want you to go on down and meet Big Chris Anderson and sit down there. He'll tell you.
Rowell?
That's Cecil Rowell. I mean, go on. You should have went on Fanning Springs. You remember reading about the little girl drowned last year? She was a young teacher, Kathy, down at Miami, and they had the teachers meeting down there.
Yeah, at one of the hotels.
At one of the hotels, yeah. Well, she lived there at Fanning. She's teaching at Grove City. Well, I guess one time I was old Big Chris shook up when that happened. She loved the little girl just about like it's one of his daughters. Kathy was a sweet thing, just as bubbling over with energy. As smart as a whip. Now, if you want to hear some wild tales, he can tell you. He was deputy sheriff in Dixie County.
That's the man, yes.
You know, Kirby,
yes,
Chris.
Yes.
Well, and his brother Frank was sheriff for years. That's back when you bought the town.
Yes.
And you hijacked your labor. You can still buy Dixie County. You can buy an election over there.
Yeah.
In fact, we put our senator, Ed Usher, in. It took $10,000 to get him in.
Oh, it did.
They don't have old machines. It cost the other three guys $10,000 to put him in.
Oh, I see. It's more than one county. That's the
trouble. Yeah. Well, now then they combined. We've got a lot of in it now. No. It's
no.
Just in the senators.
Yeah.
Because they lost our senators. Lotchewood County and got him. I lost my old buddy, Red Crow. He got beat. But now Chris will tell you some hair razors.
Yeah.
And there's another old fella down there. I don't know. I just met Stoney about 2 years ago. He's had a Castleton farm. He's an old, I don't know how old Stoney is. He won't tell me. Martin Stone.
Where'd they get him?
He come from Kentucky. He was one of the champion race drivers, you know, his little sulky carts. Back when he was coming up, but he had a wreck. Stoney don't talk much about that, but he's a horse trainer there at Castleton.
Yeah. Well, now, two of their blacksmiths was out here and got Cookie's two horses.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, two young fellas. They worked 3 days a week over at Castleton.
Worked 3 days a week over
there? Yeah, and live in Gainesville. I said, "Why do you live in Gainesville?" They said they couldn't find a place to live in Trenton.
It's hard to find unless you rent one of the mobile homes.
I said, "Well, what's wrong with our trailer?" The little girl was with them, and she said she just didn't care for
trailer. It's like walking in one direction all the time. I got caught up. I was leaving in Atlanta, and I was coming down to Jacksonville, and we'd had a party there at Waycross. If I'd have had a Florida tag on my car, I wouldn't have got out of Georgia, but I got just over in Hilliard. And I had $100 and some change in my pocket. And I had a pint of whiskey, so it cost me my $100. I had to go to the Hilliard jail. And it was one of them long, narrow ones.
Was it nice in it?
Well, they waited until 4 hours was up, and they took my $100. You got to stay 4 hours, see. They can't legally charge you with drunk unless they keep you 4 hours.
Oh.
They didn't have no blow-in-the-bag wouldn't have had no house. This is a Jip town.
Yeah.
You have $2 and something like that.
Oh, yeah. Was he good natured about it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, friendly to me. He said, I wouldn't buy you breakfast if it wasn't so broke. I says, I'll tell you where to go. Says, I ain't a go. Heard it before. Yeah,
now, however, that is it.
That is an idiot.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. He said, well, I bought that pint of whiskey. I said, but I ain't drinking none of it yet. He says, you ain't going to. I'm going to keep it too.
Oh, you lost some bones?
Lost my $100 and a pint of whiskey.
Oh, you should have said your last $100, you know.
At least give me a drink of it.
Yeah.
Kind of helped me bear my misery.
Oh, that's
rotten. Oh, man.
Now this, you hadn't had much to say to this Stoner then.
Stoney? Oh, Stoney. He's Stoney. We didn't wrangle every time we get together, but as I say, Stoney don't talk much about his background, except his horse training. He loves horses.
Oh, yeah.
And he must be a mighty good trainer. He's strictly a horse man of up in high echelon.
They have harness horses over there.
Harness horses, that's
right. Oh, that'd be nice for a change, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
and not
be
sitting
on
one all the time.
Be sitting on one. But I don't want to ride that close to that horse's hoof. Because he's sitting right there and his feet just fly.
Not the hoof so much.
Well, that's the only thing going to knock your head off. I said when I got through the jump.
Don't they have to hold on to the tail or something or tie it or something?
You really have to dock it and tie it.
Yeah, dock it.
They have horse races every, I think it's every Friday night over out in Jacksonville, orange race. You like horse racing.
Now this is Charlie Rowell?
Cecil Rowell.
Cecil Rowell.
His brother Jack.
And
yeah, old Cecil will take up a lot of time because that's all he's got. And he does love to talk. And Chris Anderson, if you ever get over there and see, you and him go see old Chris. He's a great big fella.
Well, now, your uncle?
He's dead.
Yeah. But they talk about
it. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Talk about me, too, if you get them started. I don't say not too compliments.
Well, when I brought your name up, Buck just sort of...
He kind of eyed you.
Yeah.
He inspected your car, though, didn't he? Did he say something about that thing leaking over there?
I waited till afterwards.
Till afterwards.
I'll tell you who I run into. There's a man in the drugstore there, the pharmacy. Roger's pharmacy. He was sitting at one of those little ice cream tables with his hat on. And he just... And turning it around, licking it on all sides, ice cream cone.
Old man Rogers, you said?
No.
I speak to say he...
No. And I'll tell you, I thought to myself, that's some of these fellas around here hadn't gotten much. Trying to make the best of that ice cream. But I went up, I was going to get a candy bar. But I saw that, and so I just got ice cream cone too. She said 11 cents, 21 cents. Mm-hmm. Well, she had 11 cents, so I just took that. And I started walking around the drugstore. And then I came to, I said, well, why in the world am I walking around a drugstore pricing things? I don't want to buy anything. Why don't I go over there where they're talking? So I ambled back on over there, and he had started talking then to the two women. They were young women who were at the fountain. They were kind of sad looking. They didn't encourage him, tried not to, I thought. I didn't know what in the world he was talking about, but I heard the word protein.
Protein.
And I said, why? I said, you don't mean protein. And he turned, just dropped those women, and looked at me. Just looked like he'd been expecting me and surprised me. And we talked about protein in those ice cream cones for half an hour. Why, he makes them. He does it. He manufactures them.
Manufactures them cones.
And he also sells them. I asked him what was his beat, the state of Florida, he said.
And he did run
into. His name was Galbraith.
Who?
Galbraith. Uncle Jim Galbraith.
Old man Jim Galbraith.
And
he
sort of pushed his hat back and said, "You see, I'm just 89.
89.
I said, "You do that all yourself," and he went into that. But then he got into East Tennessee. He come to East Tennessee up around Clinton. That's where I used to live up there too. And his daddy used to had a 15-team farm right there where one of those dams is. Still couldn't see covering up that land. He said they never used fertilizer. They just flooded. They'd grow more stuff and they'd get out. And Mr. Rogers come back over there then, and he spoke to him, so then I knew who Mr. Rogers was. And there was a pair of shears there, tongs, clippers, heavy things. And I said, "What do you use these for?" And he used them for, that's all they need, just some little something. And so we went up there and looked at his hardware. He got hardware in one corner. And I learned one thing, that you don't have to buy these little old axes that are on, put on a handle that's almost like a toothpick now. You can get a good one. But he says, I take a 6-pound axe, because then when you let it down, it'll stay. And that's been my experience with an axe. Get a little old light axe, you can't get it in there, it'll bounce out. And he'd go and get me one, and he said if I got back over there Friday week, he'd have it for me. I don't know how I'm going to get back, but...
Price of the road? What'd you care where I didn't get inspected? That old red Chrysler?
Yeah.
Bud and paste, that thing?
Why, he didn't even look at it fine. I had a whole set of brand new tires on it.
Oh, did you?
Retreads.
Yeah, but what about your suspension? Did all right?
Yeah.
What's your brake?
Buster had worked on that last 4 or 5
Who
months
did?
Ago.
Buster. Cookie?
No.
What's happened to Cookie?
He quit work, as far as I can see.
Did he out to university?
Mm-hmm.
Driving a truck?
Tractor yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Tractor, huh?
Plowing up our front yard out there.
Oh, is that who's plowing up Tigard Hall?
Tigard Hall and in front of the library, and he was out there yesterday on the tractor, moving it out.
Old man Rogers. Now, what's he good for? He got a section of land?
Old man, which Rogers?
Pharmacy.
Oh, drugstore, right? He got some land. I don't know how much he got. He come there some years ago. Rogers had some controversy. He got tangled up with, he was selling too much coal syrup around the cherry coal, with opium in it.
You're joking!
Yeah. He had picked the cherry coal syrup, the best in the world. You have to sign for it now, though, like Paragard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they liked to heist his license, but the townspeople kind of got together and saved him. So he's been a pretty good feather since. Now, you know, back yonder when the old church-going ladies, they couldn't drink. They lambasted those folks what did, but they all had the rheumatism, so they'd have to take a lot of Piruna. Well, then some fella named LeBlanc, he come out with a new one. Let's see, what'd they call that? Hattie Cole?
Yeah.
And they had to take a lot of Hattie Cole. Well, 2 tablespoonfuls of that's equal to a good shot of the best booze. They eventually made him have to set it through the way he had to have wine and beer license to sell Hattie Cole.
Is that right?
Oh, yes, sir. So, that cherry coal cough syrup, it's good.
Yeah,
but it's got a good bit of opium in it.
Yeah.
It'll just soothe that coughing down, right? But if you take 3 or 4 good shots of it, right, it gives you a pretty good little stimulated feeling there.
Yeah.
A lot of those people was getting hooked on cherry coal.
Yeah.
Well, brother, Brother Roger like he got himself in trouble selling too much Jericho and cold syrup. But he straightened up. He's a pretty good fella. Kind of dry and hatchet feet.
Well, now, Mr. Gobbler talked like it wasn't anything old man Rogers didn't know.
They ain't much old man Rogers don't know. Old man Gobbler either to give them test. Or Cecil Rowell. But you know, Doc, as I say, these people that think they know it all really bug us that do. Now, that's what...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He knows about an axe.
Yeah, well...
I felt melancholy.
You did?
I have. I'd go to these stores and they'd have them axes there. And well, there's no use taking them home.
Doc, who any Sam Hill ever heard tell of buying an axe to use? You buy the axe for your wife to use. She can't handle no 6 and 7 pound axe. They can't handle no 7 pound axe. You ain't going to use that axe. She's going to have to use it.
Well, where I come from, the children always use the axe. Mm-hmm. Not on the kindling, you know.
Cut the kindling.
Yeah.
It was you in Indian country now. You see, them Indians had a good thing going. The white men had to come over here and mess it up. Had the squaws doing all the work, you know, and all they done was hunted a little bit, sat around the fire and drank fire water and talked big. And the women done the plowing and the hoeing and the ground the corn and skinned what little bit to kill and done all the work. The men sat around the fire and done all the big talking.
You know, I have a feeling my troubles would be over if I just got to talk to any one of those fellas, old man Rowell or Galbraith, except old man Galbraith's been in this country since 1925.
Yeah, he's been around
the family
since I remember. Yeah, he had your big family.
Yeah.
I remember that old man off and on as far back as I can remember. He's been around there for years. He's a fixture.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's
comes
through there all the time.
Yeah, but he's lived around there around Trenton for years.
Well, now, this man lives in Tampa. The man with ice cream cones.
Oh, that may be another one.
That's another one.
Uh-huh.
But he comes through there, and he got a brother up at... up
around Bell.
High Springs.
Oh, High Springs, yeah.
My God,
yeah.
And, but now Cecil Rowell, and who else?
Well, then Chris Anderson down there.
Yeah. He's down at Tiefman.
No, Fannin.
Well, any one of them would just about...
Charlie Adkins, he can get you that Jeep and ride you all over them woods around there.
Yeah. That's, any one of them, that's all I need.
Charlie hadn't. Brave, it didn't live what you'd call a very heavy Christian life.
Did they all play the chickens, or what do they call it?
Play the...
You know, the cockfighting.
No, that bunch, they never did do that.
They didn't do that.
No, up around St. Augustine, and there's where you have your rooster fights. That bunch plays a lot of poker down on the river. They still play a lot of poker. Gambling the end of it. But they run the bug quite extensively down there. Or they do everywhere they do here. They call it Cuba, Bolita, whatever. And they used to make a lot of moonshine in those woods down there. Like old Charlie. They had been pretty tight on him, and he had a pretty good operation. He'd moved it. Yeah, one of those portable pumps. You'd move it from creek to creek. You know, water is the limiting factor in making moonshine.
And sugar.
Now, they was getting the sugar. He was getting the sugar out of Cuba. That was kind of before.
So they had that pretty well.
Had that pretty well sewed up. He was getting a tractor trailer rig of sugar in every week. And he was carrying out a tractor trailer full of whiskey. And Charlie wasn't most laughed. He was in it big. But he'd sent Rodney, his stiller, down with his big still, see, and they're going to set up at a new creek, a new water hole, a new pump. But they've been pretty tight on him. They've been using airplanes in there, my brother-in-law had. thought it was all over. They'd kind of got us. But he started out, saw this little airplane buzzing around out there south of where he lived, you know, where we saw him out at the commissary at the office.
Yeah.
He jumped in his car, wife's car. He was heading down at a cut rod in the oil, see. Tell him to not set up that day. He was just a fly. He gets down in a couple of road patrolmen watching him stop. See driver's license, he gave him the driver's license. Says, he was going pretty fast, Mr. Charlie. We're going to have to give you a ticket. Says, what do you mean going pretty fast? How fast was I going? Well, you was hitting 100 when we clocked you. How the hell you clocked me? That airplane up there. Is that what that thing is? Oh, hell, he said. Turn around and went back home. Give him $35, turn around and went back. Well, give him $50 bill, don't keep change. Says, no, we can't do that, Mr. Charlie.
You know, I tell you what, I really...
He was happy over the fact that one of the beverage boys played.
I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, they knew it.
No, they didn't know it. They didn't know what Charlie was at. He just says, oh, hell, and handed him a $50 bill and said, keep change. Said, no, Mr. Charlie, we can't do that. I gave him back $15 and he went on back home. He didn't go ahead. Oh, sorry,
I say. I'm not an operator, I understand that, but I remember the first time I was observed by one of those planes up there, I didn't notice it. And there was a fertilizing truck out here. And he went across that flat down there. He didn't have a tread on his tires. He didn't have enough load or something. He didn't quite make it. Oh, he worked himself. Spreader.
Oh, yeah.
And he worked himself to death to get that thing out. He trying to think some way to do it. You know, a lot of these are rough fellas. They don't want to do it. Either way, he says, you can call the... fire department, what do they call it? The fire service.
Forest service.
And tell him I forget what he said, tell him. Well, anyhow, I done what he said, and I come up here and called the tower there again. Said I, what I said, but somebody was stuck out here. They sent that little plane over. And what they did was telephone out there to Buster Mountain at Meganope and tell him there's some fella stuck over there by Miles' ranch.
Miles' ranch, and it's Miles' himself.
And I didn't hear about it. I didn't know what happened for some time. And Buster jumped me. He says, I looked around over there and I didn't see anybody. Of course, I was back in the field. They didn't give it. Of it, you see. And when I found that out, I was really put out of it.
Did they pull your car out?
No, they didn't. He finally, we came right up here and sat and cussed and drank a little coffee. He said he found it, and he just sort of, when he got in trouble like that, if he just sort of settled down a few minutes, some would come to him. And we went back there and used the same methods we were using before and got right.
Got right.
But now, I have found that there's a whole lot better ways of getting out than that hard way they have. One of those little come-alongs, you see.
Mm-hmm.
All you need when you're stuck is just a little help, Gorman.
You got something up yonder, the hook to come along.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can set a post or something.
I see, if you got a post out yonder. But where you stuck us out there that day on that tractor? No, we stuck in that Chrysler. They won't no post. The hook don't come along. But, so we have to get... I believe you brought the tractor down there, didn't
Jim
you?
Did.
Oh, Jim did.
I heard when you put it in second, it'll boom! I can see all the cars going.
Yeah. bridge across Santa Fe River up there, building it, but they didn't have no sign saying there wasn't no bridge up there. And the fellow driving a dog, he was doing flat 100 when he saw there wasn't no bridge across that river. And I don't know how he, but he got it stopped. Man, eventually over that sandbank, and everybody was too scared to try to dig it out. Eventually got it dug down to where the, you know, the, it was clear. It was sitting straight almost straight down, and everybody get on the back bumper and hold it down, and I drive her down. It'll turn it loose if it flipped over. It wouldn't hurt you because no steel at all. But when you get all like that, Doc, you figure a way out right fast, because if you get caught, you're going to get killed. That's all there is to it. Somebody, daddy's going to shoot you.
Buck talks like you weren't doing the awnings now.
Yeah. Hey, Buck, that's what I said. I never let that fella down there. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Keep him guessing. No, I'm gambling with some investments.
Well, I told him that last time I heard you talk to him, you were in touch with the Atlanta finance people. And I didn't know how you came out.
Well, they still don't want to come down here with no short-range financing.
Oh, I see.
No, they don't want to go nowhere with it. Discount rate went back up.
Yeah.
It come down 6%, but it went back up. Come down 5. Went back up to 7. I heard, how about, don't you want to put out a lot of your money in a 10-year mortgage?
Yeah.
You do.
Is that what it takes?
Yeah, I'll get you 10%.
Golly. Probably could do it.
But I need about $250,000.
Yeah. And you need all of that. You need the whole thing.
Well, I'll be, you know, it'll take a couple of years to get all that out. That'll put us in business.
Yeah. Well, how about that? Wouldn't that be pretty good? How about Cecil?
Cecil Rowell owns half of Trenton, and he wouldn't give you $50 to see Jesus Christ walk across the aisle. He don't want to make no more money. Like old man Justice Williams, he don't want to make no more money. Because if I do, I'll have to pay taxes, and I've done paid them all I ever want to pay. So they just...
Well, now, that's like the boy you said down at Williston, wasn't it?
Quite hurt. They still want to make money.
We drove along there, or was that Chiefland? Somewhere along there. I thought it was Williston. And they drove on the left there. And the boy said, you know, they're talking about improving the place. And he said,
oh, that's Chiefland.
Is that Chiefland?
Williston, the same way.
Same way.
Yeah, that's Hal Rutland. I don't know. He's a young fella, he's city councilman. His daddy and mama and the Peacock family. They own a big chunk of, well, I guess, Laura and Peacock and the Rutland clan worth a little over $1 million land and holdings. Little old towns are dying, and that bunch wouldn't spend 15 cents to improve it, and it's naturally going to continue to die. You know, a trend is a funny thing. Once a trend starts, it continues. You take a ball team, it'll start to get hit a losing streak. It'll continue to lose for no particular reason. If it hits a winning streak, it'll continue to win for no particular reason. That's true of life.
Yeah.
My contention's always been, if you got bad luck, the harder you work, the better your luck gets. But sometimes that isn't always true. But when a town starts a decline, unless something happens, unless you've got to modernize it. People have a tendency to move out and they don't support it.
Yeah.
And you take a little old appreciated town like Williston, Cross City, Chiefland, any of those little suburban towns, they'll continue to decline until they just completely dry up. There'll be nothing. Trenton. Trenton's a good example.
Yeah.
It's a thriving little community. Could be.
Could be.
But you look at those old dilapidated buildings, it's nobody's gonna, but until somebody.
Well, the thing of this is, they can't make any money. Nobody can make a living there.
Yeah.
Now, what about that farmers' exchange there? Farmers.
That little farmers' exchange, well, it's a co-op, and I know the one that's a branch of that. Which it is a branch of the one in Chiefland.
Oh, is it? Branch.
Yeah. My brother, they're big stockholders and that thing. But she found two squash. She's gonna plant them. That's it.
I'm gonna have supper for me and you.
No, I got it. Wait till it gets through.
I got it ready.
See, I had some work to do at Nicky Nopi.
Huh?
And I got through quick, and before they get back, oh, the preacher, little, as I said, I never heard that young fellow preach. I'm going to, I don't know what kind of preacher. He's one of the best people I've ever known. He and my girl, Joyce's mother. And they're having some sort of big kado. Dawn Hollifield, I don't know. You probably know Cecil Hollifield. He keeps all your IBM equipment up. And we just got Cecil out of the hospital. He had his gallbladder took out. So they're having some sort of breakdown for them. So they'll have supper cooked.
At Mekinopi?
No, at Gainesville. I had some work to do at Mekinopi, see, and I got through in time. Troy Blakely, you may know Troy. He wants to convert something he's got with an outfit in Atlanta into a more high yield. But,
now, Gorman, let me tell you, I don't have any idea what you've been mumbling about over there.
Yeah, I lost you.
Yes.
Well, Troy's company at Mekinopi. Now, he works, let's see, with a company that used to have profit share. Like, see, his robot. They're discontinuing. They're going to pay him a lump sum cash.
Yeah.
He's got some investments in an outfit in Atlanta. He wants to look at something to pay him a higher yield.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing with Troy. But his wife's either sick or something. But she
are in the finance business.
Been in it for years and years, Doc. A little bit of everything. I do a lot of building, too. But see, that's what I say. I let Chiefland think that's my front. See, they think I'm in the Benny Pill business.
Yeah.
So I said to the truck, what do you know about a Benny Pill? Look at that. Oh, did she flip her whole card up where I got a glimpse? Guess what, turn over, honey. You done exposed your old card. I know what
you're saying. I haven't heard that term either.
Benny Pills? Yeah. It's a Benzedrine thing. That's where it got its name.
Yeah.
You never heard of a West Coast turnaround?
No.
Well, these truck drivers can take one of those all the way to the West Coast, turn around and come back and never sleep. It's keeps you awake, pill. And then the Belita business, well, the sheriff's got that, so that's numbers racket. Do y'all don't sell numbers out there at the camper?
Mostly pills.
Mostly pills.
No, don't worry about the numbers.
Don't worry about it. If you hit, they pay at 61, you know. Buy a number for a dollar. And if you win, you get $60. Really? Do you remember reading about J.C. Rain getting caught here a while back? Mr. Phil Fox, all those fellas. I've never seen one. I wouldn't know one if I see it. And I wouldn't know a Benny Pill if I see it. But I let them think what they will, see.
Yeah.
Sit around there and they don't never catch you working much.
Yeah.
You don't get up and go to work at 8 o'clock, knock off at 5.
Yeah.
And they wonder what the hell you do to make a living.
Yeah.
Don't owe nobody. In the little town, they used to say, when you live in a little town, it's very nice. You don't have much to do.
Yeah.
Your friends, your girlfriends especially, will spend your money for you. Your neighbors will tend to your business for you. That don't leave you much to do. You
Well, you stay in Chiefland just as much as you can get away with it. And then you
I stay on the road a whole lot. Yeah, yeah. Leave town. That's what figures I've gone to. I used to think of the moonshine business. But there again, I wouldn't know a thumper from a Jimmy John.
I'm going to find out. I haven't given up yet.
Find out what?
Moonshine business.
Did Charlie didn't tell you how to do it?
Yeah.
He put you in business.
Yeah.
If you won't set a still at a fountain. So I guarantee you, Tommy Dean will put you in jail. Tommy's rough.
This syrup making, you see the skimmings off of that. You ought to some way, you see.
Well, that's pretty rough drinking. We used to drink that when these kids doing coon possum hunting, you know.
You better
right.
set
them. Well, if you let that buck set, see, down at the bottom, all your sediment will rise to the top.
Yeah.
And it's ready to draw then, so you've got your hole below. You start at the bunghole first, and then you draw it down. You keep drawing it. It's just as clear as any beer you ever saw. Got a good taste to it, and it'll get you just as drunk as... It's a whole lot drunk and slits will, because it's got more authority to it.
Yeah.
Now, you drink about a quarter of that, you know, and you get out on a cold, frosty night, and your dog's running around out there on a moonlight night. You can tell you sit around a campfire. You can tell some of the biggest lies you ever
heard. Yeah. Yeah. Now, how did the preacher get into that?
Oh, I was talking about the gardening. The preacher and my brother are putting a garden in.
No, at McAnopy.
He didn't.
Well, up at Gainesville.
He didn't. Oh, that's a little bad. The other little preacher. They're having the dinner at Trenton for a group. And then they all going to bring dinner back up here, see.
Oh.
And bring supper, I mean.
Oh.
And, then there'll be a bunch stay down there that won't come, and there'll be several up here that I'm not invited, I'm requested to be there.
But he's a pretty nice little preacher?
I say I've never heard him preach. He's a nice man. He's a good man.
Yeah.
A good neighbor. And he teaches school, really. He and his wife both. They teach in Trenton High School.
Oh,
and
see.
He preaches on the side, and he's run the church along with he and Joyce's mother. She's the big wheel, and she works at the university up finance and accounting. It's that telephone you call him.
Yeah.
A bunch up the Target Hall.
Well, that just about gets in the whole territory, doesn't it?
Gets you.
Now, did Joyce keep in touch with all those people you know?
She's down at Trenton. She's bringing them back.
Yeah.
The one that's come.
Well, does she knock around from one place to
another? No. She works from 8 to 5.
She just...
And I come by there every once in a while.
This particular time, she's...
See, her mother lives at Wilcox. She's a deaconess in this church. And she goes also in the upholstery business.
Her mother?
Mm-hmm. She's a rough character in herself. Used to be, but she's a very staunch Christian now. She don't cuss, she don't smoke. She used to smoke more than I did.
Oh, really?
And she will gossip a little bit, though, roaming along.
Well, what else did they talk about?
Well, that's what I done like my three preacher buddies back out years ago. They was out in the middle of a lake of fishing. There's a Baptist, a Methodist, and a Presbyterian out there. One of them says to the other, says, you know, we teach that you have to confess your shortcomings and sins before men, and you know, we can't afford to do that. According to our profession, you just can't do it, not out in the open, but I know we all got them. We're human. I was just thinking, this is a pretty good time to do it. Right out in the middle of this lake, sure can't nobody over here else but us. The old Baptist preacher says, Brother John, I think you got a good idea, and I'm going to start first. Just because I've been having something gnawing on me for years. Because I got one of the worst weaknesses I ever had in this winter. Because you know these big meetings I was supposed to go to and stay going a month at the time. So I ain't going to no church meeting. I'm up at Jacksonville. And I have to stay to get it out of my system and come on back. So Presbyterian preacher says, Brother John, that's bad, but I got one just as bad. Says, and it's whiskey. Says, you know these meetings that I go to, supposed to? I ain't on no church meeting. I'm right up at Jacksonville, sank up in a hotel drunk. I got to stay there till I get it out of my system and come on back. That old Presbyterian preacher, he's getting the oars up in his hand, you know, getting ready to go. He says, hold it now, Jim. We know you've got a shortcoming too. It's your turn. He says, boys, I have, and it's bad, and I want y'all to pray for me, and it's gossip. And I just got to get. Start telling old Robert a joke, and that preacher, he likes a good part of it. But he just said, Lord, please forgive me for what I'm about to receive. City.
Cross City.
Fannin Spring. Old town.
If I'd like him, I'd want to keep in touch with him too. I wouldn't move off somewhere else.
I don't move off, just ramble. Yeah. Somebody says, you know everybody done. I said, yeah, I do, but that ain't where that's not what makes stuff. They all know me too. I do make it rough.
Yeah.
Ho. Sure does get dark late. Don't get late early though. I mean, sneaking in there getting him another smoke.
Yeah, that old breakfast coffee keeps hanging around.
Breakfast coffee.
Yeah, keeps after.
Well, they're not going to give me the trunk key, so I'll go. You got plenty of butter beans, is it?
You don't have butter beans. You might find some. I don't believe you've got some squash, maybe.
I mean, what's his name? Cecil.
Hardy.
How about Oakley?
No. Oh, he's got all that. He didn't get all that.
Didn't get it.
No, he gave a few beets.
Some beets.
And about 3 carrots.
Enough Oakley to fry.
But he's got that.
Who has? Cecil. He's selling that, though. I'll go out there. I'll have to pay for it. That's it. I'll send y'all out there. How old's old Cecil? I can remember them parties. How old's old Cecil?
He's been there, he said, 40 years.
He's got a pair of skimpy shorts, and he'll just load your cart up, and then I'll be there. He can still dream. It'll do no good, but if... Poor reprobate. I remember them parties.
He got, I tried to, one time I thought I'd see where his children were. Why, hell, he got children all over the United States.
Yeah.
I got so confused. I saw I brought it up. He got a boy in the appliance business, makes $20,000 a year down at Ocala.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he keeps going, you see, and you just wish he'd run out of youngin'.
That's them to speak of.
Yeah.
You get into them that he don't speak of. He'll tell him what.
He mentioned 76 relations, I think.
Yeah.
76.
Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, cousins.
Yeah.
14 great-grandchildren. Yeah.
Mm. Can you imagine?
How old is that old character?
I don't know. He must be
70.
He's in shape, you know.
You
gotta
look
real old.
Oh, yeah. That old man he's talking about. He's in good shape. That must be a little dust down there. They're not never gonna die. They're just gonna fade away. When you gonna cook? Where you live?
Gainesville.
I'm not curious, just want to know your street number.
Really.
And what time you're and what time you're going to cook.
Well.
I tell you what, the best place is right out here. You can run into them right out here.
I'm going to want to get those
in town.
That okra fry.
In town, there's not much going on.
I didn't see them cooking nothing out here.
Oh, well,
yeah,
sometimes they come out.
They cook right out there.
It's crazy.
What do you cook after?
Well, before we had vegetables, we cooked wieners.
Oh, they original, ain't they?
That's just emergency, right?
Emergency.
Get hungry. Now I got squash and greens, and I know how to cook all that.
You did. Where was you from?
I learned from Jim's mother.
Oh, from Jim's mother.
What's Harrison doing?
He's piddling around, doing a little mechanicing for these bloated bondholder millionaires around here. Yeah, he's finished water. He worked on Walter Beach's car day before yesterday, I believe.
And keeping out of sight?
Kind of keeping out of sight. Go out, fat boys, about 1:30.
Yeah.
He eats out.
Well, I've never done that.
Well, you ought to get out there. That's a bunch of old. I haven't seen an old man.
Well, now, let me tell you, Gorman, it looked to me like there at the base station, he just hung around there and just let himself in for a whole lot of trouble.
Too personal?
Yes.
He easy way. Tune-up job or something like that.
Yeah.
See, when these people get tired of Johnny Riggs and boys messing around, messing the cars up, they'll hunt up Harris and he'll straighten it out.
Well, that's it.
They don't mind paying the bill.
Well, now, he got to have some place they can find him.
The ones he wants to find, he knows where to find him. He's got to be an exclusive specialist. He's down on the river now. He's got his house trailer down there. Manatee Springs State Park.
Oh, yeah.
This little girl, he heard that on the weekend.
Yeah.
He'll be back Monday.
Yeah.
What you need done, I'll make you come out here and do it.
I don't need... Oh, hell, all this I have to do is just low-class work. Just something...
Well, that's all I let him do for me. It's high class, but he gets low-class pay.
Hard-fisted mechanic is what I need.
But he ain't
going to
do that.
Well, let me tell you.
Like overhauling that truck.
He not going to do that?
No.
Well, let me tell you. If I could get a mechanic who'd sort of overlook it.
You could do
it. I could do it right smart of it. And I can't depend on these mechanics.
How about Cookie?
He quit business 6 months ago.
He gets like Harrison. He don't want to get his hands dirty.
He hadn't done anything to me for 6 months.
Yeah.
No.
That machine, unless it's got awful bad, it's running pretty good when you run down the field with it. Runs faster. As I say, if you lose it, have you had a compression check on it?
Yeah.
What have you changed the plugs in? I'm not kidding you, Doc. If you let that oil get, what happens?
Yeah.
Your rings will freeze.
Yeah.
And you're not getting compression there. If you don't keep your oil changed, especially in anything, keep clean oil in it.
Yeah.
Those rings will set, and they don't expand, and you're getting a lot of blow-by.
Let me tell you what. You come out here someday, and you just sit there and supervise it, and I'll do the work. And
there ain't no work to that.
Put your
oil plug out, put fresh oil in, put your can of high rev in there before you change your oil. That'll clean all that corrosion out of there.
Yeah.
Run it 10 or 15 minutes. And then change your oil and check if you got bad plugs. That'll cause it to not work too good. You need good plugs. See a farm tractor, you're getting a lot of
dirt.
Silt and dirt.
All the time. All the
time. And you need a good filter and you need to clean that oil.
Well, let me tell you, there's, of all the mechanics around here, there's not any of them I can call on and count on them being there.
No, you can't anyway.
Or taking
on a farm tractor.
Paying any attention to it.
But